Headline.
Russia's President Vladimir Putin held his annual press conference before the eyes of over 1,400 domestic and foreign journalists, bravely addressing all manner of questions ranging from Turkey's hostility to Russia to the crises in Syria and Ukraine and even Donald Trump. The diplomatic language that many had come to expect from Putin was exchanged for harsh personal criticism of Turkish President Erdogan. The Russian leader, when speaking about how the West views their Turkish ally, channeled former American President Ronald Reagan, who said of a late Latin American dictator that, quote, "He's a bastard, but he's our bastard." Concerning Syria, Putin said that regime change is absolutely out of the question and that President Assad's fate is now up to Syrians to decide, laying out some political recommendations for how this could happen. About Ukraine, he said that Russia has no choice but to end the free trade agreement with his neighbor and that the consequences fall squarely on the lap of Kiev. And finally, he also said some very newsworthy and positive words about Mr. Donald Trump. For his yearly keynote address that's been watched by millions of people across the world and reported on by tens of thousands of journalists worldwide, Vladimir Putin is our man in the news this week.
Absolutely, I agree that this press conference made President Putin a man in the news once again. Just less than 2 weeks before, as you remember, he was also man in the news here because he was addressing Russia's parliament. But I think that a press conference is different in a way how he was articulating himself, because that was just a keynote address, that was a monologue. And now we had this question-answer session, which is totally different. And normally I'm watching those annual press conferences of President Putin every year. And every time you're expecting surprise. And this press conference was not an exception. Do you know how many questions were asked?
I believe 44.
47.
Oh.
Yeah, but in practical terms, out of that 47 questions, can you imagine every journalist is coming, before coming to press conference, he's just talking to his colleagues, trying to just sum up their opinion. So in practical terms, it would be nearly not 47, but 500 questions, because every question accumulates more than 10 questions.
True.
Questions from their colleagues, from their editors, from their relatives, whatever. And this is what we've seen during that time. And I think that everybody was satisfied. I don't think that there was a single question, important question left unanswered, as you said. So President Putin proved that he was able to answer any question. We've seen quite a big international section. Of course, I see certain parallels between what he was saying in his address to Russia's parliament. He again developed on that. He again was speaking about Turkey. But at the same time, the differences was, for example, in his address to parliament, there was not a single word of Ukraine. And here we've seen quite a big section on
Definitely.
Ukraine.
Georgia as well.
Yeah, he spoke on Georgia. This is another thing. He spoke about Egypt again. So the question was raised whether Russian tourists can come to
this is a lot
country.
More robust.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And finally, one of the major surprises came out after the press conference when President Putin, when addressed to American journalist who was not satisfied, you see, with the timing, you see, he wanted to speak more. He asked about Donald Trump, and President Putin called him talented man. So again, that made news.
The main front runner,
Absolutely, yeah. So all in all, you see, yesterday I spoke to my colleague Andrew Kolesnikov, who wrote a bestseller book on Putin, who was there at press conference, and he said that was really very lively press conference.
Yeah, it definitely was. And why don't we discuss this with our in-studio guest, Mr. Dmitry Polykanov, member of the board at the Pira Center Think Tank, to see what he thinks. So in your professional assessment, with all these topics, 47 questions being discussed, what was the main takeaway here?
Well, I think that actually this was the press conference mainly for the domestic audience. Still, even though Mr. Putin touched upon many international issues, but still, the way he interpreted them and the way he was speaking on them showed that he was speaking more to the Russian domestic audience. And he devoted a significant part of his answers to the economic and social issues, because this is what the public wants to hear, because people see that the situation is not quite optimistic and they would like to get some answers from the leader of the country or what is going to happen in the next year. So I agree with Sergei that in his answers, Mr. Putin elaborated on the things that he said during the presidential address, sure. And I think it is quite important that he deliberately made the distinction between the countries and the leaders, and he did it in all cases. He spoke about it in case of Ukraine, in case of Turkey, in case of Georgia. So Russia may have not very good relationship with the current regimes in these countries, but Russia is still open for cooperation with these countries, and it is ready to have friendly relations with the people in this country.
Absolutely. And by the way, you said that Russia is ready to cooperate with the countries. Just getting back to American topic. So just to prove that we are not making stakes on personalities as such. You mentioned when that was during the press conference itself. He also was talking about American presidential campaign. And he said something like, we are ready to cooperate with any administration. So it means that now we see a lot of anti-Russian hiccups coming up from the presidential race. We are watching Republican debates. But he was not engaging himself into war of words. And he said, let them do this thing. Let the dust settle. Let us see who is elected. And we will work with the person who is elected.
Yeah, and I think it's very important that there was this dual-track diplomacy, if you will, between speaking to the people in each country and, differentiating between the leadership.
Red Line.
Right now on the line, we have with us someone else to discuss this further, and that's Mr. Jan van Bentham. He's a foreign commentator from the Netherlands Dagblad, or the Netherlands Daily. Hello, Mr. van Bentham. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Hi, thanks for coming on the program again. So about President Putin's his keynote dialogue that just happened, how is the media reporting this where you're from? I mean, what are they emphasizing, and is there anything you might find particular that they're not paying attention to, in your opinion?
Well, it was a 3 hours, 8 minutes, and 26 seconds questioning and answer, so they obviously don't cover everything which was in the conference. But it has caught practically all Western medias. One of the highlights here in the reporting is that the remarks President Putin made about the Russian military presence in Syria, that he will not leave fast even after there would be an end of hostilities. But on the other hand, there was also no urgent need to establish bases there, the president said. So it is a little vague for Western media what he exactly means there. But the second part, which was connected to this press conference, was the visit of the Minister of Foreign Affairs of the United States, John Kerry, to Moscow just prior to this, where Kerry said afterwards that the U.S. and Russia could cooperate on Syria on certain matters. That was a conciliatory and it was kind of softer stand than the U.S. has taken in before that. It also said that the question of Syria could not be hinged upon the future of Assad. So that was a knee fall of Kerry towards Lavrov and Putin. And Putin also talked about this in his press conference. And he made more or less the same kind of remark. So that was something the media here emphasized on. Hey, there is a new kind of cooperation in the making where the West now retreats from its further, earlier stand that Assad has to go before the Syria question can be resolved.
Yeah, and it's something that we were just commenting on earlier before you came in the line was about this new kind of cooperation, if you will, with President Putin's statements, for example, with governments that are not on the most friendly terms with Russia, Turkey, Ukraine, Georgia. President Putin made a clear differentiation between Russia's relations with those states and Russia's relations with those people. It kind of looks like a dual-track soft power diplomacy going on here. Well, what's your take on this? I mean, the importance of differentiating between the two and, if one will, the pragmatism of this.
Well, the total atmosphere of the press conference was also something that struck me, for instance. President Putin looked very fit. He went on for over 3 hours without having to use much papers on details, etc. So this was well prepared. So this dual approach is also something is what is really a political stance now. And yeah, Turkey is certainly an issue apart in this, that there is still this strong sentiment of Turkey shooting down a Russian aircraft, and that cannot be without consequences as far as Russia is concerned. That is something which will linger on for a long time, I think, because on both sides there are no soft words used on this issue, and that is also a problem, for instance, for NATO. Because if the U.S. and also the EU want to cooperate with Russia on Syria, this Turkish issue is one big thing on the table to discuss, because Turkey is a NATO member and not the smallest of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely true. I mean, the issue with Turkey is it's a huge impediment in international relations as a whole. Real briefly, I just wanted to ask you about the mood that President Putin is giving and exuding to the rest of the world as Russia enters the new year. I mean, is this kind of a hopeful message that Russia will be able to cooperate with all the other partners? I mean, how do you think the West is receiving Putin's message going into a new year of diplomacy?
Well, the West will take it into consideration in a larger debate which is going on here, like how we have to move on, how we have to go on. One of the issues, for instance, here in the Netherlands, there's a political debate. Will the Netherlands participate in the coalition against ISIS, so the American-led coalition against ISIS, and also bomb ISIS targets within Syria? Our national television just had an interview with President Assad on this, and he said, well, don't do that, just call me and then we can cooperate. Well, that would be a completely new kind of policy here in the West. So you see that there's a large amount of uncertainty how to move forward. We also have seen a large ISIS offensive in the north of Iraq just the last few days. That offensive has been stopped, but it shows how resilient ISIS still is and how necessary it is to cooperate. But there's one big question here, and that is Assad and the Russian support for Assad. What shall we do with that? That answer not yet has been really answered. Oh, that question not really has been answered. 24 hours before Kerry said in Moscow that the future of cooperation on Syria and Syria itself should not be hinged upon Assad, 24 hours before that in Washington, the government has just said that Assad cannot be part of the solution.
Thank you very much for elaborating on what we can expect from the next year. We really appreciate it. Right now, we're welcoming onto our show again Mr. Anton Fedyashin, director at the Carmel Institute of Russian Culture and History and associate professor at the American University from Washington.
Red Line.
Hello again, Mr. Fedyashin. How are you?
Hello.
Hi, thank you. So right now, what I want to ask you, I mean, with you being an expert on the United States, having been there, of course, and worked there, what do you make out of President Putin's statements about Donald Trump? I mean, of course, he's not, wading into American domestic politics, but by calling Donald Trump the clear front runner, is he saying that he's a front runner above Hillary?
I think he's saying that he's a front runner among the Republican Party, but all of that may change. I think the most important thing that Putin said was that ultimately whatever happens in American politics is up to the American people, and that Russia is not going to get involved in domestic American politics, which is exactly what the Kremlin hopes that other countries will do in relation to Russia. As for Trump, he's been the most positive in terms of his statements about Russia, Russian-American cooperation, and Putin himself. So it's no surprise that there's a warm relationship between the two of them, who have never met, by the way.
Yeah, what I find pretty interesting, yeah, as you mentioned, this, there's this warm relationship, and it's kind of being reciprocated indirectly because neither has actually formally spoken to one another. But how do you think that President Putin's positive embrace, if you will, of Donald Trump and what he's saying about Russia could impact in the Republican primaries?
I don't think it's really going to have much of an effect at all. If one of the Trump's challengers wants to use this as a sort of a bludgeon against Donald Trump to try to reduce his numbers by associating him with Putin, I think it's going to be very easy for Trump to dismiss that as a red herring and to call attention to the real problems that the United States faces domestically. So ultimately, I really don't think it's going to have much of an impact on the campaign. The United States has plenty of other problems and issues to deal with.
Okay, well, thank you. That was very informative, Mr. Fedyashin. We appreciate it. Right now, we have to wrap up our program because we're completely out of time, but very thankful to all of our guests for participating, beginning with our in-studio guest, Mr. Dmitry Polykanov, member of the board at the Peer Center Think Tank here in Moscow, Mr. Jan van Bentham, foreign commentator at the Netherlands Dagblad or the Netherlands Daily, and Mr. Anton Fedyashin, director at the Carmel Institute of Russian Culture and History and associate professor at the American University from Washington. And with this, we conclude this week's very exciting and energetic episode of Redline, brought to you by Radio Sputnik. It was presented by me, Andrew Kripko.
And Sergei Strokin.
Thank you for staying with us. Goodbye and take care.
Take care and goodbye.